Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, March 13th meeting of the Minnesota House Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. We do have a quorum this morning, and our next order of business is the approval of the minutes. Representative Stevenson, have you had a chance to review the minutes from yesterday's meeting, March the 12th?
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes.
Representative Stevenson moves the minutes from the committee from March the 12th. Any questions, corrections? Seeing none and hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve the minutes from the March 12th meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. Folks, what we are going to do this morning is we have a number of bills that are on the agenda that are of the same theme, which is liquor. What we're going to do is we're going to bring folks up as they are available here this morning, as we see them in the room. We may jump out of order because of members being in other committees and having other business and testifiers coming. It also happens to be that the Senate is also doing a liquor bill today, although theirs is going to be later today. So again, we're going to try to accommodate every member and every guest of the member who's a testifier today. So we should have plenty of time, but I do want to just make sure that we're all aware that we may jump out of order periodically to be able to accommodate those who are in the room. May go ahead of some of those who are not in the room at this point, just because of the availability of members and testifiers. So with that, our first bill is by Representative Mary Franson, House File 1262. Representative Franson would come forward. Representative Franson, welcome to the committee, and I will move House File 1262 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in the in a future omnibus liquor bill that the committee will consider at a future date and time. Welcome. If you'll go ahead and introduce yourself and your bill, and we will proceed accordingly. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I hope you enjoy the treats. I haven't presented in front of Commerce for a while, so I had my constituent, Jason Smith, of
Representative Franson,
Cues.
Can you just pull that microphone? Just there
yep.
You go. Thank
Bruce
you.
And Cues picked those up this morning. So this bill is would allow a municipality to issue a temporary on-sale intoxicating liquor license to a licensed food truck. And we are looking at this for private catering events. And for the time, I will yield to my testifier to explain why he would like to see this bill pass. This is his bill.
Good morning, sir, and welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. And again, probably get a little closer or pull that mic toward you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jason Schmidt from Smoke and Brews and Q's food truck out of Alexandria, Minnesota. The reason I've asked Ms. Franson to help me with this is that in the Alexandria area for the food truck, I do a lot of private catering for groom's dinners, weddings, and stuff like that, where the people like to have their events private and not have multiple businesses involved. So it's kind of a one person thing where we've lost some jobs because we're not able to have the liquor to have for the groom's dinner, the wedding reception, stuff like that. So that was the reason for me thinking of if we'd be able to get a liquor license.
Thank you, Mr. Schmitz. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on the bill before the committee this morning, House File 1262? Anyone else? Member questions, I have one from Representative Kreisha and Representative Herr will follow Representative Kreisha. Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Francis, for the bill and to your testifier. To the testifier, two quick questions. Are you responsible and is there any reason why the government should get in the way of your success?
So I'm also a retired fireman. We did the state fire convention in Alexandria where we put our bar on there for the fire department. We went through, I would have to re-update, but we went through the IDing, testing to check IDs and to notify for over-serving people. So, yes, I believe we're very responsible for what we can do.
Representative Kreisha, follow-up?
And just quickly, you didn't answer the second. Is there any reason why the government should get in your way?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I would support the bill.
Representative Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe to the bill author. So I think that it looks like this bill, there might be a cost to DPS. Have you received that information or work with DPS to get a better understanding what that might be?
Thank you, Representative Herr. We have requested a fiscal note. We have not received it back yet. So we are on top of that.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just maybe a quick follow-up question then is that because This is a little bit different than licenses in which it is on premise. Just curious if this is going to be in the public. Will this also be going to public, having a stop in public safety?
I am not aware of our
liquor
bills. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm not aware of our bills going to public safety. In the past, that has not been the case. Mr. Chair, I'll defer to you.
What will end up happening is we will, because of the nature of the bill, there may be a secondary referrals, and that does happen on some of the things that come from any committee, and we are looking into that, and there may be some other bills that are on the agenda today that there may be secondary referrals as well to other committees other than the Department of Public Safety. Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Franson. I think, and from what we initially learned about this bill, I think that the scope of narrowing it to just specific dates and usage of this, I think actually is really good for this bill. So I really appreciate the thoughtfulness that did go into this. I just want to make sure that this makes the stops that it needs to understand costs and potentially, regardless of how responsible and how successful that your vendor is, that human beings sometimes are not always so successful with some of these usage and responsibility of some of these items. And so it's not as much as a reflection of him or you. Just make sure that the public is safe from what we are putting forward. Thank you.
Representative Franson.
That is,
or follow-up?
Oh, no, I don't have follow-up, except thank you, Lead Her.
Okay. Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to know if these events, when you do to the testifier, like when you have an event, you bring your truck to a private event or a festival, are those closed space? These would be closed spaces? Could members of the public come and purchase? Would you have to have a ticket to whatever event that you're going to? How does that work?
Mr. Schmidt.
So for the festivals and stuff, that I would leave that up to the local bars and stuff for the community to do, because that's their fundraisers. I'm basically focused on be the family, the wedding, bridal party, stuff like that. So it would just be their own family and stuff. But yes, we'd still be responsible to ID and no, not underage serving or anything like that. So it would also be contained and locked up in the trailer, so it's not easy. It would just be my key. I've looked at lockable liquor cabinets where it would be held and responsibly contained and stuff like that.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that. Yeah, I trust that you would be able to take care of the booze on your side, right? It's, to me, it's just a question of, can someone come and buy a beer and wander off into Alec? Right? Like, we have rules about where you can consume alcohol.
Correct.
So I just want to make sure that that's the case.
Mr. Schmidt, did you want to further clarify?
Clarifying would be at the private, at their private home or lake cabin or the family farm or wherever they were going to have it. So it would not be open to the public. I guess they wouldn't be able to buy a beer and then walk into downtown Alec with a beer.
Other member questions? Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then this follow-up question is for the bill author. Thank you for bringing this forward. I understand that for you, that it would be a contained event. The legislation says a temporary license at a community festival. So I would refer Representative Finke's questions to you, Representative Franzen, on how you would envision the controls working in a community festival for a food truck with alcohol.
Certainly, Representative.
Representative Franzen.
Representative Pryor, or no, it's not Representative Pryor. Sorry, my brain is dead this morning. At any rate, we can change the language. We're just specifically, Mr. Schmidt is specifically looking just for private catering events. As we dropped this bill 2 years ago and was hoping for a hearing then. It did not happen. And so we can work on the language to make sure that everybody is comfortable with it.
All right. Any other member questions? Representative Franzen, we'll give you a chance to make final comments.
No, thank you so much for your time, members, and your willingness to hear House File 1262. We do hope that you enjoy your little treats this morning. And remember, Alexandria is the city that is easy to get to and hard to leave. Thank you.
Representative Franzen, I have a follow-up question for you. Have you ever consulted with Representative Stevenson about marketing your communities in front of the Commerce Committee? There seems to be a theme developing here. Well, for the record, it does appear to be bipartisan, so that's always interesting as well. Thank you, Representative Franson, and I will lay Bill House File 1262 over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill by this committee. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next bill in front of the committee is Representative Kraft's Bill 1741, and in the interest of time and efficiency, is Representative Jones here as well?
Yes, she is.
You're right behind the pillar when I was walking by, so there we have it. These two bills are very identical, and the same operator is going to be involved in this, so I think, again, in the efficiencies of time, what we'll do is we're going to first move Representative Kraft's bill, and then we're going to move Representative, because we can only have one bill at a time in front of the committee, or we will move Representative Jones's bill at the same time here. So, and Representative Kraft, I'm going to move House File 1741 before the committee for possible to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor omnibus bill to be considered by this committee. And I understand you also have an A1 amendment that you would like to offer for the committee to get the bill in the shape that you would like. Would you like to speak to the A1 amendment for the committee, please?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's great to be back before the Commerce Committee.
Representative Kraft, I'm going to sound like a broken record for folks. For whatever reason, it's kind of a dead spot, and we've had it all session, so there you go.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great to be back before this committee. And, yeah, this is just clarifying the definition of the location where this is going to be more precise.
All right. I will move the A1 amendment to House File 1741 to get it in the shape that the bill author likes. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the A1 amendment is adopted. And Representative Kraft, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, I'm going to pass it off to Representative Jones. We're going to talk about both bills because they're really identical. And this is her first bill. So I'm going to let her talk, and then we'll talk
about it. Representative Jones, welcome to the committee. Go ahead and carry Representative Kraft's water for him.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for the opportunity to present my first bill. It's fun that it's a liquor bill. So this legislation would give the City of Minneapolis and City of St. Louis Park, or these two bills, the ability to issue a liquor license for a food halls. Importantly, it does not require them to issue this license, but merely provides them the ability so they as they choose. As downtown Minneapolis continues to evolve, the area of Hennepin Avenue, where a number of theaters are located, has become an even more vibrant area. And this legislation would allow the city to potentially bring an interesting dining option, similar to the Malcolm Yards, if folks are familiar with that, next to Surly Brewing, to this part of the city. I'll turn it back over to Representative Kraft to talk about his side.
Thank you, Representative Jones.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the last 10 years in St. Louis Park, the area of the West End has developed into a really vibrant social area with movie theaters, restaurants, bars, and this legislation would be one more tool that will allow the city to bring really interesting dining options to my city. And I'm especially excited for the market for something similar to the market at Malcolm Yards because my kid worked there for about a year.
Representative Kraft and Representative Jones, I don't see that you had a testifier in here, but I bet you have one today that has arrived. So we'll give the testifier a chance to speak to what we have in front of us right now, which is House File 1741 as amended. Welcome to the committee and good morning. If you would state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Patty Wall. I'm the owner-operator of the market at Malcolm Yards near the University of Minnesota. I hope you've all had a chance to visit and see how our food hall operates. About 10 years ago, I was exploring opening a food hall in Minnesota where a variety of different food vendors could rent space and common seating existed within the building. I also wanted to serve alcohol. I discovered that what I wanted to do did not fit into existing liquor laws, and thus it was going to be possible to get a liquor license for a food hall. Consequently, in 2017, with the help of Senator Dietzick, we came to the legislature and worked with her, the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, and other interested parties, and passed special legislation that allowed us to open the food hall that now exists, and it's a lot of fun. I come here today to ask for your permission to amend the state liquor law so we may open two new locations. We propose an amendment which would allow, but not require, the City of St. Louis Park and Minneapolis to grant a license to do this. Thank you, and I'm happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, any questions for, we'll start with Representative Kraft first. Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not going to ask this question again, but I am going to ask the same question. And I, to Representative Kreisha's point, we do have a pretty vested interest in regulating alcohol. And so I think the government does have a job to play here. How are you going to make sure that we don't have people taking their booze and wandering off? Right, that seems to be the crux of my concerns for most of the bills that we're hearing. Like, I do think we need to have, this is a food hall. I want everyone to be able to enjoy their booze and not enjoy it where they're not supposed to. And it feels like the more we sort of add these places into the culture, the more people will be drinking wherever they want.
Representative Kraft, do you want to address that question for Representative
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to ask Ms. Wall to address that because we have a model that is already in place, and I think that's probably the best way of addressing it.
Ms. Wall.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, as the person who's responsible, I have the full liability of our liquor license, which our business model is dependent upon it. We take our responsibility very seriously. First of all, we do card almost everyone that walks through the door, and we put a branded, bright-colored wristband on everyone that will be consuming alcohol. We also have a fair amount of staff watching. Even when individuals do have wristbands on, we retain the right to card them again if someone's questionable, and we do. So when people are nearing the exit, we have a lot of signage around the perimeter saying no food, no alcohol can leave this point. We watch them. We have staff. We have cameras everywhere. We take it very seriously.
Representative Finke, follow up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'm sure that's true. I trust you. I know the intentions are good. These things make me nervous. The committee has heard me talk about this before. It's something that I want us all to be thinking about because people are drinking more and more, and they're going to be able to drink in more and more places, and that makes me nervous. Thanks.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, and to the bill authors and to the testifier, and especially the testifier, you've already answered my first question of why you're responsible. Is there any reason why the government should get in the way of your success?
No.
Thank you.
Representative Kreisha, I see a theme developing here this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions on House File 1741? Are there any members of the public who would like to testify on House File 1741? Anyone from the public wishing to testify on House File 1741 as amended? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Kraft, we will lay over your bill for possible inclusion as amended for a potential future liquor bill from this committee. And what I'm going to do is ask everyone to stay right where they're at. I will then bring House File 1876, which is Representative Jones's bill. And as was discussed earlier, there are two different bills. The testimony is going to be very similar. Representative Jones, we will ask if, is Representative Kraft going to help you carry the water on your bill this time? Or you're doing a fabulous job, by the way, for your very first job in testifying, so keep it up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think we don't really have much other things to say because these bills are very similar. I just think there'd be really great opportunities to add additional businesses within our two districts.
Members, questions for Representative Jones or for the testifier? Any questions? All right. Any members of the public wishing to testify on House File 1876, which is before the committee, 1876? Representative Jones, I do have one question. Representative Kraft had an amendment to his. I'm assuming your address and things are more correct than they were in Representative Kraft's, a veteran member of the legislature who brought his bill here and had to fix it in committee this morning. Just giving you a badge, Representative Kraft.
So, Mr. Chair, I have no corrections to my bill. Correct.
I was going to say, I've told you, you're doing a fantastic job of getting your ducks in a row here this morning. So with that, I will lay over House File 1876 for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Teach me to never do this again.
The next bill is House File 472, Representative Frederick. There he is. As Representative Frederick is making his way to the testifying table, I will move House File 472 before the committee to be laid over for a possible inclusion in a future liquor bill for consideration by this committee. Representative Frederick, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My bill is looking to impact Minnesota State University of Mankato. If you were to go to a hockey game right now, you'd be going across town to the Civic Center where you'd be able to buy a beer or a cocktail of your choice. What this bill seeks to do is that if you're looking to go to a basketball game or a different event at the Taylor Center, to be able to do the same thing.
And I see you have a testifier this morning. Would you like them to provide some more background on your bill?
Yes, please.
All right. Good morning, sir, and welcome. If you'll state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson and members of the committee. My name is Kevin Beisman. I'm the director of athletics at Minnesota State University, which, as you know, is a member of the Minnesota State system of colleges and universities. I am here today on behalf of Minnesota State University Mankato to ask for your support of a bill that will allow our institution to apply for a license with the city of Mankato for on-sale liquor. We are seeking this license in order to expand and improve the game day experience for Maverick fans attending events in our Taylor Center Arena. The addition of beer and wine offerings is something our fans have been requesting for many years, and doing so would also benefit the university with a new revenue stream. As you might expect, safety is our top priority. Our dining services provider, Sodexo, has agreed to hold the license and would take responsibility for ensuring the safety of all our fans and students, including trainings on safe pouring regulations, ensuring the proper locked storage of supplies and ID protocols. We are also excited about the future of Maverick Athletics and being able to offer these amenities to the fans who come to our events at Taylor Center would help elevate our presence and offer an experience fans have come to enjoy and expect at athletic events of our caliber. Thank you for your support, and I am happy to take any questions at this time.
We have a question from Representative Cresha, followed by Representative Ryer. Representative Cresha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the bill author and testifier. Two quick questions. You already know one of them. Why would the government get in your way, and is there any reason why they should? But the second one that I have is, you're not, Representative Schwartz also serves your area. Have you talked to Representative Schwartz about this bill? Is she familiar? Does she, and I'm not going to ask whether she opposed it or not, but it is the Mankato area, right?
Yes.
Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cresha. Yeah, it is the Mankato area. The portion of the district that Representative Schwartz covers is much further north of the university and doesn't actually impact the university at all. I did talk with her very briefly about this bill and a few other bonding projects, and she hadn't had a chance to talk with the university, so she just wanted to hold off for now until she had a chance to talk with the university. I don't know if she's done that. Okay. So I think that answers the question.
Representative Cresha.
Thank you. I just want to make sure, thank you for consulting her and, you know, wherever it goes from there. So then my second question is there any reason why the government should get in the way of your success? To the testifier.
Representative Frederick.
I don't believe so.
All right. Representative Cresha, you out of questions? All right.
Pretty simple to me.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is based in my lack of familiarity with the campus despite bonding tour visits. And it talks about supporting events at the Taylor Center, but then also says, provided that all the space is within the boundaries of the campus. And I don't know how much space there is beyond the Taylor Center and what that opens up in terms of possibilities for events. And I just would ask that you clarify that just to make sure that we understand the impact of this, because it seems like two different areas. Thank you.
Representative Frederick, do you want to take that or do you want your testifier to take that?
I think I could take a crack at it, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
So the Taylor Center itself is completely on the bounds of the campus. And so the intention behind this bill is that when people, and similar to Representative Finke's questions too about people wandering off, the intention behind this is that people would go into the Taylor Center itself, be able to consume a beer if they would like, and then stay within that space and not wander off. And so the language is about that it is going to be in the Taylor Center building itself.
Representative Breyer, follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that something we could talk about then? Because the wording doesn't talk about it. Actually describe that?
Representative Frederick, I don't know if there's anything to the testifier.
Yes, as I mentioned, Dining Services would be the liquor license holder, and they do also host other special events on our campus, such as galas, wedding receptions, and those types of things that are in a contained area. And as the liquor license holder, I believe it would be their intention to be able to provide alcohol at those events as well.
Representative Breyer.
That's helpful to know. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Herr, followed by Representative Hewitt. Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe for either the testifier or the bill author, but I'm looking at the same lines that Representative Ryer was. If you look at lines 1.7 to 1.8, it says a license authorized by this section may be issued for space that is not compact and contiguous, provided that all space is within the boundaries of the campus of Minnesota State University. My concern is, and maybe nonpartisan staff can answer this, but is that the person may be able to sell it anywhere within campus, but then how does this also allow people to carry and drink it walking around campus? And if that's the case, how would you control that, somebody leaving a facility? I did go to the number one drinking school when I was in college, and it's really hard to contain students walking around. And so I just want to make sure, to Representative Ryer's point, that this does not then allow individuals to be carrying and drinking as long as they're within the boundaries of the campus.
Representative Frederick, did you want to take that, or do you want your testifier to take that question?
Mr. Chair, I would just say that the intention behind this is to not have people wandering around campus at all.
Representative Herr, follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I just ask nonpartisan staff, the way this language is written, does that open that up to that? And if there's a way for us to narrow the language to be more specific to within not just the campus itself, but within the property in which the alcohol was sold.
Mr. Cornyn, could you help us with that question?
Mr. Chair and Representative Herr, if you see on line 1.10, the premises for the spaces where the liquor license would be operative would have to be described on the license premises. So under the bill language as it exists right now, the local licensing authority could require the university to describe specifically exactly where those liquor licenses are going to be.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just encourage maybe the bill author and the university to maybe provide some more detailed language around how you're going to be able to define those particular locations so that I think that the language of the campus property, I think makes it too much leeway for potential misinterpretation of the bill language. So I just encourage for you to work through that.
Mr. Clemon, just before we go to follow up on Representative Herr's question, at the time that the university or the dining services as the liquor license applicant would apply to the city of Mankato, it's in that application that they would define the boundaries of the sales premises, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, yes, I believe that's correct.
So it would be in the application. They're just saying that they want it at the university, and then the city of Mankato would end up determining or collecting that information. So we would have a record of it in a government entity.
But it's the caterer, and the caterer can also do it.
Representative Herr.
Mr. Chair, yes. I completely understand that, but okay. Because they're saying that they're using a third-party vendor who's going to potentially like have other events that are on campus that might be a pop-up of some sort. It's not within, and so this is giving them a lot of leeway to be able to hold, be able to sell for different, but it doesn't have to be a set building from what I understand, and so that's why I think that it is really important for us to figure out how the language should be really clear.
Thank you, Representative Herr. I now better understand your concern. Yep. Any other follow-ups, Representative Herr? Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple of concerns as a sports official. These fans are already spirited. We're going to add spirits to it. I definitely have concerns over safety of the players in the game and the referees, definitely. Has this been in consideration? I know about this. I'm all for fundraising. But what about expenses as far as are you going to upgrade security and have more staff on hand to control full-spirited fans?
To the testifier.
Yes, absolutely. Safety is a primary concern of both other fans and our coaches and student athletes. We will have a prescribed level of security that will be elevated in light of alcohol provision. I would point out that we have, was pointed out, we serve now currently down at the municipal facility in conjunction with our hockey events, and have had very good experiences in terms of security protocols, wristbanding, and those types of things, making sure that it's posted that no alcohol leave the building, and have had little incident at all in terms of security or safety issues related to alcohol at our hockey events.
Representative, you would follow up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you so much. That does put me at ease, as I know hockey's a little bit more spirited than basketball, so I'm good with it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Other member questions for the bill author or the testifier? Is there anyone in the audience today or present who would like to testify on House File 472, which is before the committee? Anyone wishing to testify on House File 472? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Frederick, appreciate you being here this morning. We'll leave this over, as I said, for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under consideration in this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
The next bill in front of us is by Representative Gander, House File 1668. And I see Representative Gander is here. And as he is and his testifier are making their way, I will go ahead and move House File 1668 before the committee, again, to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under consideration in this committee. Representative Gander, welcome. And if you would go ahead and explain to us what House File 1668 does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1668 would update liquor license laws as they apply to the University of Minnesota. Currently, the entire University of Minnesota system, which includes five campuses, Crookston, Duluth, Morris, Rochester, and the Twin Cities, is allowed a total of 9 liquor licenses. 8 of those licenses have already been granted, and there are needs on each campus, putting a high demand on that final license. The U of M Crookston campus is in my district, and they've had difficulty hiring a vendor when they host events for public and alumni like Art in the Garden tour, reunions, and building dedications due to the fact that many of the catering companies in the region are actually located in North Dakota and unable to serve in Minnesota. So adopting the changes in this bill would aid Crookston and other campuses in planning and organizing philanthropic activities and events that strengthen the ties between the university and community members. The bill maintains existing oversight of the university's liquor licenses by both the Board of Regents and the Commissioner of Public Safety while permitting the needs of all campuses to be reviewed and considered. So at this time, I'd like to call on Ms. Karen from the University of Minnesota to explain the changes in the bill and provide further examples of the needs across the university system.
Good morning, Director Karen, and welcome to the committee. If you would state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony, and just do double check to make sure that mic's in a good spot for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and thank you for having me here today. For the record, I am Amy Karen, Director of Contract Administration at the University of Minnesota. As Representative Gander stated, the University of Minnesota is seeking changes to the liquor licensing for our system. This bill does 4 things. First, it eliminates the cap on the number of liquor licenses available to the university. We currently only have 1 available license, but there are needs across the system. Second, it addresses the licenses for non-contiguous spaces. As an example, this would allow UMD catering to supply beverages at the Glen Sheen Mansion. Right now, an outside caterer must be hired for the Duluth campus to host events, including the in-house UMD catering. Internal catering would be more cost effective. Third, it adds concessionaires to the licenses. The current process at the university has some limitations that may be addressed by allowing a concessionaire to hold the license. For instance, purchasing and reporting could be centralized, which would lead to a more efficient process. Lastly, it removes the restriction on the St. Paul campus. Removal of the restriction creates consistency with other food and beverage sales currently offered at the meat and dairy sales room, which features products developed through the university's College of Food, Agricultural, and Natural Sciences. This practice helps important research on grain and hops, which are important to the Minnesota agricultural landscape. These changes would align with the university's current law governing Minnesota's private colleges, providing parity for the university, allowing the Board of Regents and ultimately the Commissioner of Public Safety the authority to make decisions on appropriate liquor licenses will permit the needs of all campuses to be reviewed and considered while maintaining the appropriate oversight of the licensing process. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, questions for the bill author or the testifier? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to the testifier, it looks to me as you read through this that you would totally remove the cap and you could have an unlimited number of licenses. Is that correct?
Director Karen.
Thank you, Chair and Representative. But it would remove the cap, but at the same time, the university would still follow the same process as we do today, which is that a department would have to apply for the license. It would be reviewed. A business analysis would be done. And so it just gives us the flexibility to issue a license as need be, but it wouldn't be just every building in the on the campus of the University of Minnesota would have a liquor license.
Representative Davis, follow up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's something we may want to follow up with down the road. I don't think you just remove caps and, you know, with no limits at all, but we'll talk about that.
Representative Davis, sometimes you have to remove the cap to get to the products that are inside the container.
I just find it interesting, Mr. Chairman, that the ag campus cannot have
correct
intoxicating liquor. Now, I mean, if the corn crop's bad, you might want some.
One never knows, do they?
We don't know that.
All right. Any other member questions for the bill author or the testifier? Is there anyone from the public who would like to testify on House File 1668 that is before the committee this morning? Any members of the public wishing to testify on House File 1668? Seeing none and hearing none, no other member questions. Representative Gander, we will lay this bill over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under contemplation by this committee. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Karen.
The next bill that we have, oh, I was looking around, there she is, Representative Perez Vega. Good morning, Representative Perez Vega. Welcome to the committee. And just give you 1 second here. No amendments to your bill, is that correct?
That is correct, Chair.
Very good. Well, welcome to the committee. I will move House File 2055 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor omnibus bill that is being contemplated by this committee. Representative Perez Vega, welcome and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Maria Isa Perez Vega, representing District 65B. I asked that we be here to be in support of HF 2055. This past year, the Science Museum of Minnesota and the Union Depot approached the city of St. Paul, of our great capital of the state, to serve alcohol in different locations within their properties to meet the interest and demand for special events. This 2055 would be able to provide a more fit model than what the statutes of Minnesota allow the Science Museum and the Union Depot to be able to distribute on sale of intoxicating liquor. There is a significant interest for more special events. I'm pretty sure everyone here has made a trip to the Science Museum or the Union Depot, and if you haven't, let me welcome you as well to these events that do happen, which you can recognize that some of them are not allowed to have the liquors, whether you're attending a wedding or a quinceañera or just a celebration of our great county of Ramsey. You have to be allowed only in a specific zone and area. And within the special events at the Union Depot and the Science Museum, this will contribute and support the social contribution and financial health of regional community assets. Our current statutes in the state don't allow this, so we're just trying to get more opportunities to provide for our city, to provide for our visitors and our guests and those who would like to continue to support the Science Museum and the Union Depot events gatherings. With that, I'd like to welcome our testifiers that are here from the city of St. Paul and director of the DSI, Dan Najelik, and as well as the Science Museum of Minnesota representations and the Union Depot. Thank you.
Very good. We'll go ahead and take the representative from the city of St. Paul. Mr. Jajelic, if I could close.
Nijelic.
Jajelic. Sorry about that, sir.
Nijelic. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Just want to make sure our names are pronounced right here.
I'm doing my best.
We all are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To the testifier.
My name is Dan Nijelic, Deputy Director of Department of Safety Inspection, City of St. Paul. And as the representative indicated, what we're looking for is special provision language within Chapter 348.404. It's very common. You'll see a number of establishments already that you recognize, the Walker Arts Center, the Museum of Russian Art, American Swedish Institute, Fitzgerald Theater, and a variety. And so what we're looking for is similarly, because under statute right now as a city, we are not allowed to issue, or we're not provided the option of issuing a on-sale liquor license to a museum or a transit center as an establishment. And therefore, to accomplish the model that they're proposing, we would be cobbling together a variety of things, and not very efficient, not very effective, and not really meeting the model or what we're trying to achieve. And so we're looking for the special provision language for both the Union Depot as well as the Science Museum of Minnesota, such that the City of St. Paul could issue those on-sale liquor licenses. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Members, questions for the testifier? Seeing none and hearing none. Oh, sorry, Representative Herr.
Just a quick question, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And if maybe the people here representing the venues, if you could just sort of explain right now when there are weddings or events there, does that mean that there's no liquor at those events right now? And if there are, is it the vendor that has that liquor? Could you just maybe talk a little bit about that process so we understand?
If you state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Tara Upman. I am the Director of Mission Advancement at the Science Museum. And right now when we have weddings or events, they are held on a catering license by a provider. So it would be an offsite provider, but then we have Levy Catering here, and the license is provided through that.
Representative Herr, follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So then I guess if they're already bringing in through the caterer, can you maybe explain a situation in which then you wouldn't have a caterer and you yourself would need the city to have this license specifically through the city for your entity?
Absolutely. Thank you.
To the testifier.
Sorry. So we have events at the museum that are not necessarily a wedding or an event from an outside person. They're an event that we want to have on site. So we have 21 plus nights, those types of events where we want to offer alcohol as an option to enhance their experience. And I just would like to state for the record that we do have carding on site. We have staff, so the doors and all of the perimeters are monitored so people cannot leave the premise with alcohol.
Representative Herr, follow-up.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I appreciate it.
All right. Representative Perez-Vega, any other testifiers this morning?
I do not have any other testifiers this morning.
Is there any member of the public who'd like to testify on the bill before the committee, which is House File 2055? Anyone wishing to testify on House File 2055? Seeing none and hearing none, no other member questions. Representative Perez-Vega, we'll give you the wrap-up.
Thank you. I mean, let's wrap it up pretty quickly here. I would like to invite folks once we can maybe come to an agreement on this nonpartisan strategic move to allow the safety for folks and guests to be able to enjoy the Science Museum Omni Theater, maybe a cocktail on just as much as you would at the Walker Arts Center during an after-hours event. We would need to bring that to the city of St. Paul, especially in these times where we walk outside of the Capitol and we see what's happening to our businesses, we see what's happening in our community. We want to continue a vibrant capital city, Chair. So I ask those in this committee to favor for HF 2055. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I will lay over House File 2055. For possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under contemplation by this committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next bill that we have in front of us is House File 1786, Representative Roach. There he is. Good morning, Representative Roach, and welcome to the committee. I will move House File 1786 before the committee for layover and for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under contemplation by this committee. Welcome. You'll go ahead and proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, appreciate the opportunity to present House File 1786 today. This bill is It's designed to allow municipalities and cities to be able to issue liquor license to businesses that fall under the cosmetology license. In a time right now where we have businesses struggling, this is really help will really help businesses create a new revenue source to create more money and allow businesses that are struggling to be able to be adaptive in the marketplace. So with that said, I've got some testifiers here that would like to testify.
Very good. Which testifier would you like to have go first, Representative Roach? Good morning and welcome to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for having us here. My name is Laura Hanks. This is my partner, Jared Cooley. We are the owners of Main Street Salon and Apparel Company in downtown Farmington, Minnesota. We opened our doors in August of 2019. As most small businesses have, we faced many obstacles when we first opened, biggest being the COVID shutdown 7 months after we opened our doors. We are consistently trying to find new sources of income to help us thrive. Being in a licensed salon in the state of Minnesota, we are very limited to what we can and cannot do. In the past several years, we have added a clothing boutique. We've added group spa parties. These parties for special events such as birthdays, bachelorette parties, etc., are an amazing option for groups wanting to have a fun day out at the salon. But one thing that takes away from this being hosted in a licensed salon is not having the option to, say, have a glass of champagne or wine while you're getting your services done. We strongly feel that allowing salon and spas a legal way to offer spirits to be served would open up a whole new market and revenue stream for our business and help us continue to grow and stand out in an extremely competitive market. We understand the issues that may be concerning for what we are asking, but nowadays when you can have a glass of wine while sitting at a movie or throw axes in a bar while drinking at an axe throwing place, we honestly can't find a good reason why allowing salons on a conditional basis the opportunity to offer clients a glass of wine while relaxing and getting a service done. If done right, we believe this can be a great way for salons to stand out and boost business and an additional way for the state to bring in income. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Representative Roach, was the other testifier going to do offer comment as well?
Not at this time.
Okay. Members, questions for, there go the hands. Hang on, let me get going. We'll start with Representative Katizo Atun, then we'll go to Representative Finke, and then we'll go over to Representative Van Binsbergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
One second. Did I miss any members in that round? Okay, go ahead, Representative Katizo Atun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Roche, for bringing this bill forward. I just have a quick point of clarification. To the extent that any members have had an opportunity to visit a salon where they perhaps were given a glass of champagne or wine during their service, hypothetically, I guess, is that currently illegal?
We may end up having to check with nonpartisan staff to that extent. Mr. Klum.
Mr. Chair and members, that would not currently be allowed. The only possible way to do it would be like a consumption and display permit, but those are pretty restricted. So I don't believe that a salon would qualify for that.
Representative Petito, to him, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, so it is illegal for a salon to offer an alcoholic beverage at this time, like as a bonus to a guest as a part of their service.
Mr. Klum. Mr. Chair, Representative Katizo Atun, yes, that's correct. It's not lawful to do that.
Representative Katizo Atun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a really quick follow-up. So that's really helpful for me to understand to the extent that any businesses may be doing that in today's day and age before we would potentially pass this law. Is the idea also that in addition to potentially letting guests purchase a glass while they're enjoying a service in the chair, mm-hmm. are you hoping that it might become more of a community hub and that people would just come in and visit for a glass of wine outside of potentially receiving a service?
My intention would be like they would have to have a service being done in order to be able to purchase.
Just for protocol, everything has to come through the chair. Realize that you're doing a fabulous job. I just want to remind you. Go ahead.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, yes, they would have to be getting a service done or be part of a spa party while they're there. They're not just going to be able to walk in off the street and grab a glass of wine.
Representative Tisa Watone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that.
All right, Representative Finke, followed by Representative Van Binsbergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the business owner, the testifier, my question, it's building off of Representative Katiza Watoon, right? But it does sound like, from your testimony, it sounded like the business is kind of becoming multiple businesses at the same time. You have a boutique, you have salon services, you have events. And, you know, I'm just for my own edification, really, like, what does the point of sale look like? Like, will you have somebody whose job is to sell? Will that be the person providing the service? Like how does a person physically purchase alcohol when they come to shop in a clothing boutique? And how does that, like, business transaction interact with the salon services?
Ms. Hanks, maybe you could describe how you would vendor distribute the alcohol in your business. I think that's what Representative Finke's question is really about.
Right. I think we would just have it kind of in the back room, I guess. I mean, it's not something that's out there where, like, anybody's going to be like, oh, we're going to sit at the bar and have a drink. But then we just ring it up with their service.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a note here that says that this is, you know, like, this would be new. It sounds like this would be a new business model, which I think is exciting and interesting. And, you know, I always wanted to own a bookstore that sold beer, you know, and you could browse and sell. Just, like, people doing things that they enjoy in the same place, I think is a good idea. I would just want to make sure that when we're passing bills like this, we make sure that we know who and how that sale is going to be done, because it does feel like if we did do this and you were so inclined, you could open a bar inside of your salon, right? I mean, there's nothing that's saying you couldn't open a cafe and then a bar and then, you know, sell alcohol. And maybe that's fine. I don't know. That might not be a problem at all, but it also might be. So I would just want to make sure we sort of are thinking through the possible outcomes in terms of, like, just opening a bar on the side.
Representative Finke, I think we're going to go to Mr. Klelm and ask him to talk about how current liquor law works in this for part of the statute, and then how the addition of this, if it does end up getting into statute, would have to be trained, enforced, and managed. Mr. Klelm.
Mr. Chair and members, well, so this would add salons to the list of establishments that would be allowed a city would be allowed to issue an on-sale intoxicating liquor license to. And so currently there, I mean, you can see in the bill currently, there are a limited number of establishments that can receive these licenses. So hotels, restaurants, bowling centers, et cetera. So this would allow a city to do that. There would likely also be potentially some municipal regulations on the issuance of the on-sale licenses as well. So, local governments and municipalities can, if they want, they can be more restrictive, or they can, put their own limitations on this as well. But otherwise, it would just be added to the list of establishments that can currently receive an on-sale intoxicating liquor license.
Mr. Klelm, just I've been in this committee for a while, and I kind of want to, I think I anticipate a little bit more of what Representative Finke's question is too on this. When a license is issued, not only in the contemplated situation we are right now, but in any area, employees have to go through training. Employees have you have to buy additional insurance. You have to segregate the alcohol. There's a process that you purchase it. Maybe you want to just go kind of walk through that for the committee's benefit as well, for some of the questions about how those things might be vended within the establishment. And again, the list is growing. Representative Faulkner, I see you on the list. I got you. Yep. Mr. Klelm.
So, Mr. Chair and members, by adding this to the list of establishments that can receive an on-sale intoxicating liquor license, all the other provisions of Chapter 340A in the regulatory system would apply. So that would relate to the requirement for liability insurance. There could be server trainings that are part of that, the financial responsibility sections of law. All of the licensing requirements would apply as well. So the on-sale establishment would have to purchase liquor from a licensed wholesaler. I mean, the off-site storage prohibitions would apply. Pretty much every single part of the liquor regulatory system that currently exists for, you know, a bar or a restaurant or a hotel would apply to the license issued under this section. It'd be, you know, I would imagine it would be a very similar application procedure that restaurants, for instance, would have to go through now. And so whatever comes along with that would also come along with a salon license.
And the reason I ask that question is hopefully as a growing list, maybe I was able to get some of the questions answered from members, and we could expedite the questions a little bit. But Representative Vinsbergen, and then it's going to be Representative Herr, and I still have others that are on the list as well. Representative Vinsbergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. First of all, thank you both for being here today, and appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit and your different activities. I just want to, I think you got a great idea here, and I wish you the very best. Thank you.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe this is to the testifiers and the salon owners. So from what I understand is that you said, like, this might be part of the service, so, like, could just be something you bring out to somebody who's utilizing your services. But I'm understanding this, then it could also be something that people can purchase. Can you just clarify that for me just a little bit?
Ms. Hanks.
Thank you. Yes, I would. I think, you know, they have to be getting a service done to be able to purchase. So you're not just going to have somebody walk in and purchase, you know, a glass of wine and then slam it quick and walk out the door. You know, I think it definitely is something they're purchasing along with their service.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's not like I'm coming in to get my hair done, and while I'm waiting, you just bring me as part of my service. That means I have to actually order and purchase it in order to be there. So it's not something you're going to be giving away to people as part of their service that they're there for.
Ms. Hanks.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's different ways. I looked up other states and how they do it, and some people just give it with the service, and some places they charged extra. So, I mean, depending on what stipulations are put on it.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And I would just maybe caution, because, like, for someone like me who doesn't drink champagne or wine, like, I would hate for my service that fee in it already. If you think, like, you're already going to give this as a nice service, I don't go to fancy places, salons, to do things. I probably should, but if I were to, I just don't want to be paying for the cost of other people's alcohol, that it might be part of the service. And I think that too, for us just to also think about, I know that I had heard from I've people who work in the salon industry, and they talk about all the trainings that they have to go through in order to maintain their license, in order for them to work, and so I want to be very cautious in that when we then open up a liquor license to an establishment, additional training and additional staff, like, you know, having a bartender, even if we're saying you're not going to have a full bar, there will still be people who have to be trained in understanding, you know, what it means to have this and how to execute on it. And does that mean then is every person working in that salon, if they're going to be the ones delivering it, or do they all have to be go through training? Is that so? I just want to, not that this is something we have to talk through today, but just to think about what that would mean for the individuals who are already being licensed and trained for certain things within your salon, and then having to do additional training for that as well. Just a comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Representative Breyer, followed by Representative Faulkner. Representative Breyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You asked my question, so I'll pass.
Thank you. Representative Faulkner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You kind of touched on it, but I just wanted to just ask kind of a feasibility thing, and perhaps non-partisan staff has to answer this too, but a lot of these bills we've been hearing already are places already accommodated for such, that they have catering coming in or facilities or just kind of expanding their scope. But when you think about a salon, are salons set up for the food and safety regulations, the infrastructure? If you think a bar, they have to have, you know, sinks and dishwashers, sanitizing the drinkware, et cetera. Like, are you envisioning people are just going to crack a bottle or have a single serving bottle of wine, or does that involve the whole food safety issue needing to be inspected, getting licenses for all that, constructing out such an area, dedicating space within a salon that maybe space is already tight, taken up by other chairs, whatever? Like, I guess, how do you envision this being carried out, and would this necessitate food and safety regulations as well?
Representative Faulkner, I think that's a great question for nonpartisan staff. My assumption going into this is going to be that you're going to have to not only follow the regulations under the liquor law, but any other health and safety regulations that may apply to establishments that serve alcohol, and et cetera. But we'll defer to nonpartisan staff. Mr. Coleman.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I'm actually not sure exactly what the state component of that particular set of health and safety regulations would be. So there could be local regulations that would apply or that a local government would put onto it. But at this point, I'm not sure exactly how that would work.
Representative Faulkner, follow up.
Yeah, just one follow up. So I guess just to the testifier, like how would you see this operationalized within a salon? Like, are you actually building out a bar space to have the infrastructure to pass a food and safety regulation inspection, or et cetera?
Ms. Hanks?
I would absolutely expect that there would be, you know, things that we're going to have to follow. I haven't thought through everything of it, but I'm not picturing a whole bar set up. I'm just picturing, you know, we have some wine that people can purchase while they're getting their service done. So, you know, washing glasses and stuff, you know, I'm the type that will figure it out. You know, we'll find a way to do it. If we have to use plastic wine glasses, it's cheesy, but if we don't have a dishwasher to sanitize it, maybe that's the way we have to go, you know. I don't think anybody would complain too much if they're getting their glass of wine.
Representative Faulkner. Representative Faulkner, welcome to the world of alcohol. There are two things that are extremely controversial in front of this committee. This is one. The other is gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents owned a winery outside of Red Wing, so I'm fairly familiar with the world of alcohol.
Very good. Other member questions for the bill author or testifiers? Anyone from the public here today wishing to testify on House File 1786 that is before the committee at this time? Anyone wishing to testify on House File 1786? Seeing none, hearing none, Representative Roche will give you the final word.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, committee, again. Appreciate the opportunity to testify for House File 1786. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. And again, I will lay over House File 1786 for possible inclusion in a liquor bill that's being contemplated by this committee. The next testifier that we have, we've done Representative Jones, Roman numeral number 9. We are now to Roman numeral number 10. Representative Coulter. Representative Coulter, welcome to the committee. I will move House File 1089 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill being contemplated by this committee. I believe you also have an A1 amendment that you'd like us to consider to get the bill in the order that you would like. Did you want to speak to the A1 before we adopt it? Go ahead, Representative Coulter.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment just corrects, so this is obviously a liquor license bill, and this just corrects the type of license that we're seeking within the bill.
All right, then I will move the A1 amendment on behalf of Representative Coulter to House File 1089. All those in favor of the A1 amendment to get the bill in the form the author wishes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Representative Coulter, to your bill as amended. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members for hearing the bill. So House File 1089 would allow for an intoxicating liquor license at the Dwan Golf Course in Bloomington, which is in my district, just barely. It's like across the street, basically, from Representative Elkins' district. And as I was driving in this morning, I thought of the Mark Twain quote, golf is a good walk spoiled. And I'm not sure I agree with that, but I think for folks who maybe don't enjoy golf as much, a little lubrication might help them. And I think it would go a long way toward supporting the operations at Dwan Golf Course. And they currently have a near beer, 3.2 beer license, so this would just allow them to operate and sell intoxicating liquor. So that's really all I have. I will turn things over to our Director of Parks and Recreation at the City of Bloomington, Ann Patrick.
Very good. Welcome to the committee, if you'll state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Ann Catry. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Bloomington. With me today is Peter Curvers. Peter is our golf course manager at Dwan. Dwan is an 18-hole golf course that opened in 1970. It's one of the busiest courses in the state and hosts over 50,000 rounds per year. It's a beautiful course with undulating greens, narrow tree-lined fairways, and it's a great golf course for golfers of all ages and abilities. I'm here on behalf of the City of Bloomington to explain why House File 1089 is both necessary and beneficial to our community. This is a bill to allow the City of Bloomington to issue an on-sale intoxicating liquor license for Dwan Golf Course. Under state law, cities are not specifically authorized to issue an on-sale intoxicating liquor license to golf courses. The state law authorizes city to issue golf courses an intoxicating liquor license if they meet the statutory definitions of either a restaurant or club. cities are authorized to issue a 3.2% malt liquor license to golf courses. So if a golf course does not have a restaurant or is not a club, as defined in state law, the golf course is not permitted to sell intoxicating liquor. The state legislature has approved similar authorizations for other municipal golf courses to sell intoxicating liquor. Currently, Duong Golf Course is only authorized to sell 3-2 beer. This significantly limits beverages available for sale and completely prohibits wine sales. Municipal golf courses like Duong serve as more than just recreational spaces. They're social gathering spaces for residents, visitors, and community events. Many cities in Minnesota, including Roseville, Duluth, Invergrove Heights, and Golden Valley, have successfully received similar legislative approval to allow liquor sales at their municipal golf courses. Bloomington is seeking the same authorization. By approving this request, the legislature would enable Bloomington to provide a service that aligns with existing practices across the state. The bill would allow us to responsibly manage and regulate alcohol sales at Duong Golf Course, enhancing the experience for patrons while ensuring compliance with all necessary liquor liability and insurance requirements. The city intends to replace the Duong Golf Course in the next few years. A robust food and beverage operation will be critical for the continued success of this enduring community golf enterprise. This legislation would take effect only with approval of the Bloomington City Council, ensuring local oversight and accountability. This measure that supports local decision-making, economic activity, and recreational tourism. I respectfully ask for your support in passing House File 1089, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. And do we have a second testifier, or is...
Mr. Kervis is here just to answer questions.
Okay, very good. Very good. Members, questions on House File 1089. Representative Cha, followed by Representative Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's great, you know, that you offer the beverage, but I guess my concern is about outside beverages, right? You know, a lot of times when we go to golf course, a lot of people are like kind of bring their own beer and liquor and stuff like that. And my concern around a golf course is always around enforcement and oversight, because a lot of times people drink too much and they hit up on people, and you know, there's there can be better ways to handle these groups and golfers. So I'm more concerned about your enforcement on outside beverages and how you police that on a course. Thank you.
To the testifier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. We also share that exact same concern and take that responsibility very seriously. We do robust training for our staff, and quite honestly, with the prohibition of only having the ability to serve a 3-2 beverage now, we're experiencing issues with people bringing their own alcoholic beverages onto the course in their golf bags. So we believe that this will allow us the ability to have better control. We also have a very close relationship with our police department, and our staff is trained to monitor and control alcoholic beverages in our golf course.
Representative Cha, follow-up?
No, Chair, thank you.
Okay, Representative Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this is a great common sense bill for your community. I'm curious whether or not you have hopes or potentially plans if the city would, if we allow it and then the city would allow it, would alcoholic beverages only be sold in like the clubhouse, or do you have plans for a beverage cart service? I'm just curious on that.
To the testifier.
Mr. Chair and members, that is a fantastic question. Within the next 2 to 4 years, we intend to do some renovations to Duong Golf Course and completely replace our clubhouse. With that, being able to serve intoxicating liquor would be a significant opportunity for the golf course. We currently do not offer beverage carts, but it is something that we definitely would want to consider in the future if this bill were to pass.
Representative Switchon. All right, Representative Elkins.
Just very briefly, both Representative Coulter and I are former Bloomington City Council members and attest to the fact that the Bloomington Police Department devotes a lot of effort to enforcing liquor laws.
Very good. Other member questions? Representative Van Vinsbergen.
I'm just, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious, how come it's taken this long for you to come to ask for this? I mean, it's 2025.
To the testifier.
Mr. Chair and members, that is a fantastic question. We wish that we would have done it sooner. The impetus for us now is really the renovations planned in the future.
Representative Vinsbergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good luck.
Thank you.
Other member questions? Again, anyone from the public wishing to testify on the matter before the committee, House File 1089 as amended? Anyone from the public wishing to testify on House File 1089 as amended? Seeing no other testimony, seeing no other member questions, Representative Coulter, we will give you the final word, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. And Representative Elkins stole my bit. I was just going to say that I was actually on the City Council when Ms. Catry was hired as Parks and Recreation Director, and can certainly speak to the dedicated and talented staff that we have within our Parks and Rec Department and within our Police Department. You know, I think, as Ms. Catry said, Duane is undergoing some pretty major and significant renovations in the next few years, and I think this will just be a real benefit not only to the City of Bloomington, but everybody who comes and visits our community.
Very good. And with that, Representative Coulter, I will lay over House File 1089 as amended for possible inclusion in a future liquor omnibus bill under contemplation by this committee. Thank you. Bill we have is House File 1121, Representative Duran. And as Representative Duran is making his way to the testifying table this morning, I will move House File 1121 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in a liquor omnibus bill being contemplated by this committee. Representative Duran, welcome to the committee. I see no amendments, so the bill is in the shape you like it, sir.
Yes, Chair.
Go ahead and proceed with your testimony on the bill.
Well, thank you, Chair and committee members, for allowing me to present to you today Bill number 1121. It is in regards to Lake of the Woods County. If you guys don't know where that is, it's on the Canadian border up there. So it's far away from down here. It's about a 6-hour trip to Bedette. So we are down here. My testifier is actually on Zoom today. We are looking to do an exemption for the Lake of the Woods International Arena up there, and for an alcohol exemption, and I'll pass it off to my testifier.
Mr. Perkle is testifying today remotely. Mr. Perkle, if you would go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony on House File 1121. Mr. Perkle.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Anthony Perkle, and I serve as the Public Works Director for Lake of the Woods County. Additionally, I am a member of the Bedette Arena Association. I'd like to thank Representative Duran for inducing House File 1121 for consideration. In 2018, the Bedette area was fortunate enough to receive a generous $6 million donation to build a state-of-the-art arena for the community. Land adjacent to the school was purchased and the facility was constructed. Located in a small community in northern Minnesota, the community itself is only 900 people. The arena has become the heart of the community. It is the only large non-school venue capable of hosting a variety of indoor events, providing shelter from the weather in both summer and winter months. A primary intent of building this facility was to make it available for non-hockey, non-figure skating events. Over the years, this arena has hosted a variety of events, including post-prom gatherings, graduation parties, baby showers, arts and crafts festivals, a circus, indoor wrestling events, and music concerts. In 2020, the Arena Board introduced this very same legislation to allow temporary alcohol licenses to be served at certain events hosted by our facility. This legislation was passed both in the House and Senate, and it was required due to the arena's location within 1,500 feet of a school. This legislation was approved, and a required step in the process was approval from the county board as stipulated by statute 645.021. This step was unfortunately missed. The county board was supportive of this legislation, but due to challenges posed by COVID-19 and a lack of attention to the fine details, this step was inadvertently overlooked. It wasn't until this year when an indoor fundraiser for the county fair was proposed, one that involved serving alcohol, that this oversight was noticed. Both the arena board and the county are in full support of this legislation. If passed, it'll provide much needed flexibility for hosting more events at this facility. These additional events, which would request alcohol service, would primarily consist of weddings, indoor concerts, and similar like gatherings. While the majority of the events the arena will host will remain alcohol-free, events like this will greatly benefit from the option to serve alcohol, making the venue much more attractive for these type of events. Moreover, allowing alcohol sales will help ensure the long-term viability of this valuable facility, generating additional revenue to support its continued operation. If this legislation is approved, the arena board would need to obtain approval from the school board and secure a temporary liquor license from the county board before any alcohol can be served. Additionally, a licensed business or entity with a catering license and staff trained in responsible beverage service or with a bartending license would be required to serve the alcohol. It is important to note that alcohol service would not occur during school hours, and our facility is a secure facility. There's no outdoor space, so I know there were some concerns on previous bills, but no alcohol will be leaving this facility. I want to emphasize that the county board fully supports this legislation and will approve it in accordance to statute 645.021. Once again, I'd like to thank Representative Duran, as well as the chair and the committee, for allowing me this opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Members, questions for the bill author or Mr. Perkle, the testifier? Members, any questions for the testifier or the bill author? Seeing none, is there anyone from the public who would like to testify on House File 1121, which is before the committee here this morning? Anyone wishing to testify on 1121, House File 1121? Seeing none, hearing none, and no member questions. Representative Duran, you are getting by easy this morning. We'll give you the final word, sir.
Thank you very much, committee, for hearing this bill, and I'm looking for your guys' support. Thank you very much.
And with that, Representative Duran, I will lay over House File 1121 for possible inclusion in a liquor bill under contemplation by this committee. The next bill is House File 509 by a member of the committee, Representative Smith. And I will let you go ahead and move your bill before the committee for layover.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 509 before the committee.
For possible inclusion. You would add that, sir.
Thank you very much.
Representative Smith, if you would, yeah. The motion be please to also include for layover and possible.
Yes,
inclusion.
I would like to move House File 509 for possible inclusion in the Commerce Budget Bill.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all. This will shock you greatly, but this is about a on-site liquor license. This is time in the city of Rochester with the historic Chateau Theater. This is a wonderful gem in the heart of Rochester, but it does sort of fall within the cracks of current liquor laws of what exactly the establishment is. It is called a theater, obviously, but it is not in the traditional sense. There's no seating that we sell tickets to individually. And so we are coming before this committee to ask that we might have that on-site liquor license. My favorite personal example of where this would be great is we have a European-style Christmas market every year. Traditionally, Glog is sold at those things, and we are currently not able to do that because of restrictions. So I have with me here Christiane Cartwright, who is one of our deputy city clerks coming up from Rochester. Thank you for being here today, and I'd like to turn it over to him.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Smith. To the testifier, welcome. Identify yourself, if you would, for the record, and proceed with your testimony. Again, welcome.
Thank you, Judge Driscoll.
And committee. My name is Christiane Cartwright. I am the deputy city clerk for the city of Rochester. We are requesting a special law change for the property known as the Chateau Theater, which is located at 115 First Street Southwest in Rochester. As the representative has said, despite its name, the Chateau Theater does not meet the standard definition of a theater in Minnesota Statute 340A Subdivision 1-8B, nor would it appear to meet the standard definition of a convention center. Rather, it serves only partially as a theater, partially as an event space, and wholly as a community asset in our local downtown. The location hosts a variety of events, including weddings, graduation ceremonies, cultural celebrations, art exhibits, limited theater performances, craft fairs, free children's activities, and more. In other cities, similar establishments, such as museums and cultural entertainment venues, including concession areas within art museums and sports venues, have received special legislation. This legislation, in particular, would allow the venue to fully utilize its space and maximize its potential use for the community, visitors, and various events, including cultural groups and celebrations. Thank you for your consideration with this bipartisan bill.
Thank you for your testimony this morning. Is there anyone in the public wishing to testify on House File 509? Anyone present wishing to testify on 509? Members, questions for the bill author or the testifier on House File 509? This is a two in a row. Wow.
Getting nervous.
Potentially. All right. Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Smith renews his motion that House File 509 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill under contemplation by this committee. Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I would have given you the final word, but there really wasn't a final word to have. With that, we have our next bill by Representative Katiza Watoon, and it's informational this morning. I do understand when she gets to the testifying table, we'll have a couple clarifying questions on where we are at with this bill. Representative Katiza Watoon, I am familiar with this bill, as you are probably familiar with the bill that I have on the agenda later on today. We've both been working for a while to try to accomplish getting the respective bills across the line. Before we do the informational on here, can you just give the committee a status update? Have you introduced the bill at this time, and why we don't have the bill right today in front of us? We're doing an informational.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for being willing to hear the bill under informational status this morning. We are still waiting on jackets, but we anticipate that they should arrive shortly. So as you mentioned, this is a bill that the House has approved previously in two biennia, both in 2020 and then again in 2022. Then we had conference committee with the Senate. The Senate chair at the time was not a fan of this provision in our proposal, as well as I think the proposal that you mentioned and alluded to earlier. So we're back again. For members who were on the committee previously, friends in the industry, you may remember when we had an informational hearing on all the liquor bills during the remote session during COVID-19. I was testifying on this bill, and my then 15-month-old attacked me during the hearing and was pulling at my nose, pulling my hair, causing lots of joy and laughter throughout the hearing, and it ended up going viral. And he made Newsweek, actually. So I was rewatching that hearing just in prep for this, I was pleasantly reminded of, the horrors that we endured during remote testimony over that period of time, but also the joys that occurred. So, members, this bill would expand our current direct consumer wine shipment limit in the state of Minnesota. Right now, we are limited. Minnesotans over the age of 21 are limited to 2 cases of wine per person per year per winery. And what this does is it limits and restricts Minnesotans being able to purchase their preferred out-of-state wines. Many wineries across the country do not make all of their varietals available at liquor stores across the country. Some they're not even able to because it is a small batch. So what this bill looks to do is expand that current 2 cases of wine per person per year per winery to up to 12 cases of wine. And so about 1 case a month if we're looking at it on an annual basis. And this bill also institutes a regulatory structure so that the departments can successfully implement this expansion.
Representative Katiza Watoon, do you have any testifiers this morning?
Mr. Carlson is here to give a little bit further in-depth explanation as well as answer questions.
Very good. Mr. Carlson, if you'd introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I represent the Minnesota Wine and Spirits Wholesalers, and I can't believe this is my first excursion to the table on Liquor Day. So that's a good agenda. So this whole issue of direct-to-consumer wine shipping is the result of a U.S. Supreme Court case called Grandholm that really forced states to address this issue of shipping wine into their state if they allowed their own in-state shippers, own in-state wineries to ship to consumers. Minnesota promptly addressed that issue with the law that we currently have right now, the two-case limit. What we didn't mention is that in their haste to bring this law into fruition, they exempt that product coming into Minnesota from all taxation. So there's a competitive advantage to non-state producers. And in addition to that, we don't have any reporting requirements. And so what many states have done after Grand Home is to set up a system of carrier reporting where they report their shipments into every state so that we know what's coming in so that it is verified what's coming in. It's not direct to children. It's direct to consumers. So what this bill does is puts in that regulatory framework. It corrects the tax problem so that there isn't an unfair tax advantage for non-state shippers of wine into Minnesota. And what we are working with as we adjust this tax that should be collected on out of state is how much does that bring in and how much does the regulatory program cost. We want those to be neutral at best. So that's what we're working through, Mr. Chair. The problems that we've had, I think we could have passed the bill easily if we would have left the two-case limit in place. That's where kind of the Senate was at. This changes it to a regulated 12, which as an industry we think is much better than an unregulated 2 that no one keeps track of. So we're very supportive of this effort. We've worked with the Wine Institute and the retailers and others to try and bring this bill forward without controversy. But we do have had a little controversy in the Senate, Mr. Chair, on the 2 versus 12. So happy to answer questions and appreciate you giving this consideration.
Member questions. Representative Cha.
Thank you, Chair. As you know, I'm from California, and California is wine country. And I think this is a great bill because there's a lot of boutique wineries up in the Sierra foothills. I mean, there's hundreds of these boutiques that don't sell at major retailers, and the only way to get it would be to import it by sales online. So I think this is a great bill. I think 12 cases is adequate. Thank you.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 6, subdivision 4, starting 6.3, we've got quite a bit of tax language in there. I wonder if this shouldn't maybe go to the tax committee when we get the bill.
Representative Davids, I believe that is something like we had heard earlier today, that sometimes other secondary referrals and things may be necessary on bills. We had one that contemplated maybe with the Department of Public Safety earlier. This may also be an issue for taxation. We're still looking to see where we need to go, but thank you for pointing that out.
Mr. Chair.
Chairman.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Representative Khadija-Watoum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last time I carried this bill, we did have a visit to, I believe, Judiciary, Public Safety, and Taxes. So we are anticipating a few additional steps.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Other member questions? Representative Khadija-Watoum, I'm going to open it up to public, but I do have another.
Van Binsbergen.
Oh, I didn't see it through one of our researchers here. Representative Van Binsbergen, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious about the two-case limit. Has that been on the books a long time in Minnesota? And what are other states doing? And one other, Representative Allen and I were just talking. I mean, I would imagine this is going to be a pretty large tax revenue. It's going to bring some new tax revenue in as well.
Representative Khadija-Watoum?
I think Mr. Carlson can
speak
to the
history.
Very good.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Van Binsbergen, states have a variety of limits, and the 12 wasn't picked out of the air. We are right following about where most states are at. There are some that have no limits. There are some that have 2 cases a month, so 24. We kind of picked a middle ground that was acceptable to the industry and to the wineries and the Wine Institute. it has to be worth it for them to do the registration, do the reporting, and so that was a level that they were comfortable with, and it's consistent with most. And we ship in, according to Ship Compliant, a company that monitors wine shipping across the country. Minnesota receives about 100,000 cases of wine a year into the state of Minnesota. So it's not an insignificant amount, and the average price per bottle in 2024 was about $51 per bottle.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that final question, that piece of information about 100,000 cases per year, because what I wanted to ask was, how many cases are we receiving per year, and are we hitting that limit? Do we receive them? Are people buying the max, right? We have a certain amount that's allowable. Are we hitting it?
Representative Cadiz Batulin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the question, Representative Finke. So right now, because we don't have any reporting requirements and any regulatory structure of any type, we don't really know what is coming in. It's been my understanding from conversations with wineries and people who participate in wine clubs who can, you know, receive a certain number of shipments per year with that membership, that some people try to skirt this regulation by potentially having cases of wine addressed to their dog or somebody else in their family or their household. And so that's a part of this bill that we want to create and kind of have a better idea of what is coming into the state.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other question is, have you resolved your senatorial problems?
Good luck.
You can Representative Cortez Watson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Finke, the two previous times that the House has passed this bill and included in our liquor bill or commerce proposal, the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee was just not a fan of this particular provision. He is not currently the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee.
Representative Cortez-Watun, I have one final question, and then we'll lay the bill over. One of the things that has come up in other committees, and I think it's for the benefit of this committee, we should talk about it, and folks have had really good questions all throughout the day. And because it's ship direct, if you will, like an Amazon or different kinds of things. Two questions. Would it be subject to the delivery tax that was passed last year? And secondly, would it also be something that, how do we ensure that if there are underage residents in that home that they don't somehow usurp that or get that into their possession when they're not legally allowed to consume such products?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We require a signature on delivery. So right now, people are already accepting these deliveries in Minnesota, and typically the driver will ask for an adult signature. Sometimes it's very obvious that the person who answers the door is above the age of 21. If it's not, they can request to see a driver's license. If nobody is home, they will do like the little sticker on the door and say, we'll try again to deliver your package. We need a signature, an adult signature on this package. And that's how that proceeds. It's my understanding that, the delivery fee that was passed in the last session applies to purchases over $100. I believe that if people are ordering wine by the case, it would probably be over that $100 limit. And so, yes, I believe that would probably be in effect on these cases.
Very good. And finally, is there anyone present who wants to testify on the matter before the committee? Hearing unseen, and we'll lay it over a possible inclusion, and we'll follow up with the paperwork. And as I make my way to the testifying table for the last two bills, I'm going to move House File 2027 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion in a future liquor bill, and turn it over to Vice Chair Bernie Perryman.
As Chair O'Driscoll moves over to the chair here, I will repeat Chair O'Driscoll repeats the motion HF 2027 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor bill. Chair O'Driscoll, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 2027 and House File 1545 are identical bills, and it is contemplated that House File 2027 will be the liquor bill that everything, if we finish our work, will be amended in if it moves as a standalone bill. And so it's important that we get this bill heard and laid over. The crux of House File 2027 and House File 1545, like Representative Katizawatun, I mentioned I've been working for a long time to get this bill into law. We have many of our restaurants and proprietors out there who are experiencing a worker shortage, and the problem is, as was explained to me 5 years ago when I took this bill, I had a restaurant owner who said, I'm the manager owner of this. I have to walk by three of my people who are under the age of 18 who can serve food at the tables, can bus tables, but I have to walk over to the bar, take the tray, bring it to the table, and bring the empty tray back to the bartenders. I can't find people in some cases who I think who are over the age of 18 who are responsible. I have people who are 17 who are more responsible than some of the people who are 18 or older in our organization. As this proprietor was talking to me, he said, I fully understand that I am responsible as a liquor holder, a license holder, for the training and the discipline that would be resulting on this as me, the license holder, and under the law, the obligations for training. And as we further discussed this with others in the St. Cloud and Central Minnesota area, where Representatives Perryman, myself, and Representative Wolgamont and others hail from, the conversation was very simply this. We would like to be able to have a few years out of folks as our customers get to know our staff. We think that's good for the business. And so what I'm asking for is contemplation and inclusion of House File 2027 in the Omnibus Liquor Bill if one does come. And Madam Chair, I do not have any testifiers, but I do understand that there may be a testifier who has signed up today that you may want to ask if they are interested in coming forward at this time.
Thank you, Chair Driscoll. We do have the name of a testifier who has signed up, and I hope I do not slaughter his name. I'm pretty good at that. Wade, or Mr. Wade Nunberg, please make your way to the table and introduce yourself to the audience or the committee and do your testifying.
Good morning, Chair Perryman. Wade Lunenberg with Unite Here, Local 17. We are the hospitality union here in Minnesota with 24 union hotels in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington, and Rochester, our convention centers, all of our major sports facilities in the Twin Cities, craft brewing, distilling, food service, and we also have 1,600 people on the field at MSP in concessions and in-flight catering. Today we are here to testify in opposition of House File 1545 and House File 2027. Organizationally, we believe that serving or selling beer, wine, or alcohol should not be done by minors, knowing that only West Virginia and Maine allow selling, serving, and bartending at 17 years of age, while West Virginia and Maine are current outliers at the age of 17. Both states require being supervised until the age of 20, which this proposal does not consider. The proposal here would certainly make Minnesota the outlier compared to other states. At its core, we believe that of-age workers should be selling and serving beer, wine, and alcohol. Currently, Minnesota does not require licensing for bartenders, selling or serving, which might surprise some here, and that's common across the country. We believe that that is already a low threshold.
Mr. Lundberg, could you, we only have 4 or 5 minutes left. Would you mind trying to wrap it up, please?
Instead of our industry, relies likely more on experience, most often gained through the workplace. This includes training in carding, IDing, serve safe, or just through experience being able to judge and gauge a customer's behavior in front of them. We worry about the liability of a minor being able to serve adults and perhaps their judgment and experience at 17. A minor serving a minor, a secret shopper, serving a customer over at Minnesota's legal limit, or doing the same that could lead to an accident or fatality is not good for anyone and could put other workers and employers at risk of losing their jobs or potentially the loss of that license. We believe that adults should be serving and selling to adults. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for testifying. any member, since we're in a limited time period, I'm going to go to the members, and we have Representative Heinzman first and then Representative Ryer. Please. Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just need to make a brief comment and thank Representative O'Driscoll for bringing this forward. I represent a nearly 75% service-based industry district, and the Brainerd Lakes area struggles from very similar challenges in the workforce as the St. Cloud area, it sounds like. And this is a very important issue, and the change in statute would be significant and very positively impactful in my district. Just want to mention that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman. Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is actually for the testifier, Mr. Lundberg.
Mr. Lundberg, could we pull you back up, please?
And I will, in the interest of time, I'll ask while you walk. I'm intrigued by what being supervised means in Wayne, in Maine and West Virginia. Could you just clarify what that entails with the thought that maybe that's a useful thing to consider?
Chair and Representative, I don't have a lot of information on that. I can get more information on that. That was from a quick search and just declared in the documents that I was looking at.
Thank you, Mr. Lundberg. Any other questions from the membership? Any more testifying or comments from the public? Seeing none, Chair O'Driscoll, you want to wrap it up?
I would just renew my motion that House File 2027 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill contemplated by this committee. And then, Madam Chair, I'd also move House File 1545 before the committee. It is an exact duplicate. And the reason for the double introduction of this bill and hearing is that we have some vehicles available if necessary for accomplishing a liquor bill if we are looking to do that. There's the same language, just two different numbers.
Thank you, Chair. Chair O'Driscoll moves that 1545 move your bill to be laid over for a possible inclusion in the liquor bill. Any testifiers, member comments? We're short on time, but it is a clone bill identical to HF 2027. And the chair is also laying it over for possible inclusion to be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor bill for HF 1545.
And with that?
Seeing no further further discussions, we are going to be adjourned, and thank you very much.